Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. They got a 4-1 win last night. Scheduled to join us at 9:30. Got a bunch of prizes to give away on a game show Wednesday. I'll give you a clue. It's a Spanish-related game because the Commanders are in Spain.
I took 4 years of Spanish in high school. Maybe I can remember a few words here and there. Not many. Didn't retain a lot.
EB's done a lot of back padding and taken victory laps saying that the six quarterbacks drafted last year are all going to be hits.
Mm-hmm. I think they're all pretty good, yeah.
And I think it's premature to decide yes or no on all the guys, really. Although we have damn good confidence that Jaden's a hit.
Let's say that one of them busts.
And Drake May is going to be a hit.
The conventional wisdom was half will hit, half will bust.
That was based on history.
And Caleb's playing a lot better. And because of their record, you wouldn't think that the Denver Broncos have a problem at quarterback. But I've been seeing more and more of these analytics about Bo Nix. Do you realize on passes over 10 yards, and Cakes brings up his arm, he ranks 32nd in off-target rate. 39% of his passes are off-target. And even in a clean pocket, 37% off-target, 32nd. They may have a problem. And Sean Payton might ultimately move on from him because Sean Payton's a quarterback guy, and he's not going to want a guy who can't complete passes when he has got a clean pocket.
Right. Well,
It's something to keep an eye on, but he definitely wanted him.
Oh, yeah.
He targeted him in the draft.
That was his guy.
For sure.
All right, joining us right now is Mike Loxley, head football coach at the University of Maryland. He's presented by IT Cadre, trusted insight from trusted insiders. IT Cadre, how you doing, coach?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, buddy?
How am I? I'm sitting here trying to find a way to get a first down here, looking at a little third down and getting ready for Illinois, an opportunity to go out west and start what I call playoff football for the Terps.
Yeah, because how many more games do we have left?
Three.
This will be three. We got three left.
3 weeks.
We
got
to win them all to be bowl eligible. Like, what's that? Where are we in the bowl eligible?
We just got to win this one.
We got to win this.
We got to win this one. Yeah, we got to win this one.
Oh, you 5 wins to get you bowl eligible.
No, I mean, we got to get six,
just saying,
but we
got
to win this one.
Oh, I got you.
It's been a while since they got to win.
Oh, I got you.
Got to get this one. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
True, you do.
How's the team kind of feeling after all of these losses?
You know what? This is a team that I've always talked about. Our youth has served us well because they bring the energy. When you have youthful, energetic players like the ones we have, they bring that energy every day. As long as there's room to fight the team, they'll fight. As long as there's room to grow, they're going to grow. And I like that about this team. And when I talk about comparing it to what a year ago felt like, a total different atmosphere. But I think a lot of it's because of the youthful energy that's here.
No, we've talked a lot about your quarterback and freshman, I would say he's having a really good year. We finally got to see his legs. You always said that he could run. He goes for 164 yards. I don't know that anybody expected that. Of course, the long touchdown.
First play of the game, wasn't it?
73-yarder?
Yeah, he broke off a couple runs there. Obviously, the run game for us with his ability in the run game with his legs, which, I mean, if you followed him in high school, he was the player of the year in football and basketball. So from an athleticism standpoint, he's 235 pounds. He has the athletic ability to do that, and I think we finally have taken advantage of that. You know, he was a guy that had come off of an injury prior to training camp. As you guys know, he missed much of training camp due to an injury, so we brought him along the way we needed to. But, you know, the athleticism was there. Really helped open up the traditional run game as we saw, you know, Nolan Ray pop a big one, which we hadn't had very many explosives in the rush game.
We're kind of talking about how the players stay motivated with the Commanders because they're in just such a bad rut. I mean, five straight and just getting blown out. I mean, it's tough. Even and these, you know, these guys are veterans. How are you keeping these kids motivated after such a rough stretch here?
I think the biggest thing is the connection that this team has. You know, we did a lot of work. You know, for most of us, if you're a football person, when you have 64 players that for the first time reported as Terps this year, you knew that there'll be some growing that'll take place. And so we built a pretty strong connection, and that everything that we're going through, not that we anticipated, we've communicated, we've been able to show them where there's been some areas of positivity. And with a young team that's learning how to win, this is a tough stretch for the outside people, but for us inside, we see us still growing, and that's the part that motivates them.
I mean, it sucks because if you look at it from afar, you go, oh, they're on a five-game bender.
Yeah.
But I know, listen, for lack of a better phrase, Coach, I would say you probably feel this way too. Three of the games, we could just say, I'm just going to just be raw. We blew three games that we should have had.
Yeah.
Right? So you could easily be in a totally different situation. Do the players feel that? I know you feel pressure from the outside at times. Do you feel like you want to scream that from the mountaintops? I mean, it's not great that you blew the games, but you really should have had three of these games.
I mean, as I said before, this team, when you look at what it looks like this year compared to last year, you're right. You have three losses by 10 points or less. That shows you that the games are closable games.
But like three or four
games
points.
That, Yeah, 3 or 4 points, 10 points in three games. And then, you know, we played the number two team. And if you look back at the Rutgers game, we're a player two, the 4th-and-3 pass away from the momentum. And Rutgers is a program similar to ours.
Yeah.
And that we played them pretty closely. And to me, that's the only progress that as you show a youthful team, like we're right there. And to me, I saw the offense get better last week. I saw the defense do some injuries. Take a step back, but we've been able to get some guys healthy, and you know we've got, like I said, we're in playoff football. That means we win, and we keep playing, and so we got a great opportunity against the Illinois team that we know well. I like the way the run game popped up last week for us, and then we'll get the passing game going, and we just got to stop the run on defense, and we'll have a chance to come back and get on the right side.
So tell us about Illinois and what you're going to face.
Yeah, veteran quarterback, obviously run. They're going to be our run-first team. We've had our oil check the last 2 weeks in the rush game and in our defense, which has really stood tall for us through the first seven games. Just the point of attrition with the injuries on the interior front seven kind of took its toll on us a week ago. But as I said, we were getting some of these guys back healthier because they played limited reps a week ago. Illinois will run the ball. They're a rush-first team. They've got a veteran quarterback that's been, you know, Altmaier's been their starter 3 years. Really run first, play action, boot RPO, and then on defense, very similar to what we faced out of Washington.
Yeah, Altmaier, not anything really flashy, but he takes care of the ball. Only four picks on the season and completes 70% of his passes. So that's going to be a challenge to move him off his mark, disrupt him.
Yeah, and it starts with you got to make them one-dimensional, which is if you got to stop the run game. And to me, the last couple of weeks, we have not been able to be consistent enough. We hadn't tackled very well, but we're getting some guys back healthy this week with the point of emphasis. And what I've seen out of my group is everything we emphasize, they finally get it fixed, and we'll get the run game fixed, and we got to score some points on offense.
Coach, what were you and Monachino talking about during the game when this kid Raymond – I couldn't believe the numbers. 41 carries. I mean, you just don't see that.
Yeah.
What were you guys talking about trying to stop this kid?
Well, the big thing is, one is, if you notice, they had a check with me system where we always were a play behind on defense, and I can tell you that's a structural issue where when you line up fast, and we have to have the ability to adjust when they adjust, and so we've got that part fixed. Ted's a great veteran coach. Our defense has stood tall for us. As I said, the first seven games when the offense sputtered, we'll get some healthy bodies back. I think it had more to do with who was in there sometime more than the call, and we'll get some of these bodies back this week against Illinois.
What did you think of the latest college football playoff rankings with, two Big Ten schools still at 1 and 2, Oregon there at 8?
I have paid zero attention to anything outside of this program, and it's just how you kind of insulate yourself, so I have no idea what's going on from that standpoint of how that went.
What do you enjoy most about the week? Is it the preparation or is it game day?
No, the best part of this week is out on the field during practice time, man, with the group of guys that really want to do everything they can to get this thing fixed as fast as possible. Yeah, and as we all know, it takes time or it takes resources, and you got to choose which one you're going to do. And right now this group is talented enough. Just need a little time for them to continue to learn how to win. And that's the next step.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach. Well, best of luck against Illinois, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. I got a good feeling
this week. Next week.
I got a good feeling.
All right. Keep that feeling, man.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thanks, buddy.
It's Coach Mike Locksley brought to you by IT Cadre.
You can hear it in the voice.
Trusted insight from Trusted Insiders, IT Cadre.
Here's the thing. I know fans are frustrated, alums, and et cetera, and all every. But honestly, they blew three games. If you look that's the bad side.
They lost
the good
leads.
Side is they
were in those games.
They should have beat all three of them. They should have beat Washington, Nebraska, and UCLA. They're all winnable right there in the fourth quarter.
The Washington 100%. One is the killer.
You got to close out.
So, but think about
that Washington
the difference.
One. They would have got them to 5-0.
Yeah, they'd be 7-whatever, and it'd be a totally different mantra. But they blew it. But they're young kids, young quarterback. It just didn't happen. But you can make the argument, and I know this is antithetical to Maryland people, because a lot of Maryland people are very frustrated, just want to move on. You can make the argument that they could have 7 wins right now, and you'd have a totally different, but that they're
well.
That
the
they
problem
are
is
closer.
The problem is you got to play 60 minutes.
I know.
You can't play 45 minutes. And Maryland in the fourth quarter has been dreadful.
Dreadful.
And the defense, the run defense, they're allowing 170 a game.
It was ugly to watch this past weekend against Rutgers.
If you close out and you finish in the fourth quarter, you can win it. But you're getting exposed in the fourth quarter.
I agree.
Especially stopping the run. They can't do it.
But they literally should be 7-whatever. 7-2?
You have a tingle on the Terps? You might, and Mike Locksley might be the only ones.
Well,
I don't know how many people are picking the Terps this weekend.
I don't feel great about it, but I just feel bad. I just feel bad because there are three games they had.
I mean,
they blew in the fourth quarter.
I'm looking back at that Washington game. At one point, the probability of them winning the game was right around 96%.
Mm-hmm.
Can't lose that game.
No.
They're 14.5-point dogs in Champaign this weekend.
I mean, you're up 20-0 late in the third quarter.
That one they gave away.
You can't lose that.
You got to close that game out.
But Nebraska in the fourth quarter, they couldn't stop the kid. The kid was running whenever he wanted to. I mean, he had 200 yards rushing, close to it.
And maybe it would have been false bravado. But had they won that game against Washington, that would have been 2-0 in the Big Ten, and you would have been 5-0, potentially ranked. It would have been counterfeit because you would end up losing some of those games, but just the excitement and energy. And that was just a huge thud.
There was just three super winnable games that they just gave away. Just sucks.
They're winnable, but you got to make plays in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? You could look at it, a lot of teams and say, you had a lead after three quarters, but you couldn't win. But that's a lot of times that's when teams expose you in that fourth quarter.
We just should have a different vibe because I think we looked at it. What was the projection for Maryland? It was like four wins.
Probably.
You look, the preseason projection was like four wins, which is what they're stuck on.
Yeah, they are stuck on that number.
But they literally could have had seven if things went their way. Like, they actually played good enough, except for the last few minutes of those games. I mean, it's a shame.
The other thing, Malik hasn't been real sharp in the fourth quarter.
He hasn't been as good.
Yeah. His completion percentage has dipped in the last three games. Pretty low.
Yeah.
That needs to get rectified.
He's missed some easy throws, like he's just throwing too hard, you know, or just a little behind. Timing's just been a little off.
Well, they better win this week because then they got Michigan following.
They're not beating Michigan.
Michigan, then Michigan State. Michigan State should be winnable. I don't know how winnable the Michigan game is.
I don't think the Michigan game is winnable at all.
I'll be surrounded by a billion Wolverines fans, and I'll want to drive off a cliff. But I'll be there.
Yep.
Go. Make sure you go to Scotty's tailgate.
You think I won't go there? Think I won't go to his Scotty's vodka fountain?
Yeah, you gotta go.
I won't be there?
Yeah, it's silly.
Of course I'll be there.
Yeah, nice group.
I know exactly where it is.
All right, we got Coach Carberry joining us coming up at 9:30. Game show Wednesday at 9:45. Your chance to win some great prizes. Keep it here.
This is Sports Junkies on a Veterans Day on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Junks are out. Denton Day and...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Lynnell Willingham sitting in for them today. They are going to be back tomorrow. We want to thank all the veterans out there who served. It's a special day. We're going to take calls throughout the process of the show. If you did serve, let us know. Lynnell got a bell in front of him. We'll celebrate you with a ding of a bell. It's not much, but it's literally all we have. Von Miller is scheduled to join us in an hour and 20 minutes. Ryan Fowler is going to join us in an hour, talk a little bit about some names in college that we might need to start paying attention to. now that the season is over. Well, let's talk a little bit of Wizards. How about that? We got a little top back there.
Little DC family. There's a bell for that, too.
Host of the Locked On Wizards podcast. You also hear him and see him on the Junkies Monday through Friday. Ben, tough one last night for the Wizards. Losing overtime to the Pistons. They give up what is one of the most inefficient triple-doubles I've ever seen to Cade Cunningham. He shot like 31% from the field. He scored 45 while shooting 44 shots.
45 shots, and then he got to the line 18 times as well. So you put that in perspective, he took like 52 shots.
52 shots on the floor, and then it with the and totally shot over 60 times last night.
It's just insane. But I was happy just to see the team at least have a resemblance of competitiveness yesterday, because on now this 9-game losing streak, which it's disheartening. It's tough at this point.
It's what you expected, though.
You expected plenty of losses. You expected development to come along with it. I didn't really expect them to go on a streak like this year. I was hoping you didn't see another double-digit losing streak, considering you went on two separate 16-game losing streaks last year. But here we are. You play Houston on Wednesday, so maybe the 10-game losing streak seems almost inevitable before you play Brooklyn. Maybe the other team that's trying to out-tank you at this point. So that'll be a fun one on Sunday from Capital One Arena. But yeah, how about vintage CJ McCollum finally making his name
shown? That was
the story
last night. Yeah,
like because the first six games of the season, CJ McCollum was getting trashed by this fan base saying, I can't believe how bad this guy is. He seems like he's the tank commander. No, that wasn't the case. He scored 25-plus in the last three games, and he was very efficient last night until overtime where he went 1 of 6. He was calling his own number. He was gassed out there, so I wasn't too surprised to see how things fell apart in overtime, but I was glad that that young team got the experience to play down the stretch against a really good Detroit team that I think this Wizards team could actually learn a lot from. They molded that entire core. They built it through the draft. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, so much young talent on that Detroit team, and they survived this part that the Wizards are in right now in this rebuild. That team went on a 28-game losing streak with that young core of players, and look where they are now, top of the Eastern Conference, 7 wins in a row for Detroit.
Gotta find your Cade Cunningham. That's the difference.
They have the star.
They have the star, but
okay, he's playing at Duke right now.
Yeah, well, who knows? But the way Alex Starr is playing right now, man, his sky feels like it's the limit for him. I mean, totally outplayed Jalen Duren last night. 15 boards against one of the best rebounders in basketball. Talk about Duren. His offensive game has been a lot better. The shot diet is more consistent on the interior. There's a level of confidence he's playing with right now, and I know everyone's enamored by Keyshawn George because he's the guy that got off to a hot start, but I think Ben, when I came on Locked On Wiz to start the year, even coming out of the summer league and how excited everybody was, Alex Starr's got the most upside in terms of being that star for them because he's 7'2" and he can just move.
He's had a couple of really good
fluid
games
movements.
This year.
Yeah, he has. He looks like the real deal.
By the way,
honest.
Cade Cunningham's night last night, his 31 missed shots was the most in NBA history since the 76-77 merger.
Linnell, you and I have said it together so many times that we think Alex Starr is going to be one of the most integral parts of this Wizards rebuild, and he's lived up to the billing for what you expected in a guy in year number two. He seems like he just kind of gets it now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you and I have texted with one another throughout the entirety of these Wizards games. Sometimes it feels like only you and I are even watching these things. But when you look at Alex Starr operating out of the pick and roll, where he's been excellent this year, he's leading the NBA in screen assists, which I found
is nuts.
It's crazy. And the way he's operating at points per possession around 1.5 when in the pick and roll, that's excellent. That's something you can really build around, and especially considering how his shot diet, as you mentioned, has changed. Last year, only 17% of his shot attempts came from 0 to 3 feet, which is a 7-footer, doesn't make any sense. He's figured that part of his game out. The mentality is there. He takes it to the chest of the defense. He did it to Joel Embiid. He did it to Jalen Duren last night. He's got a new level of physicality to him we didn't see in year number one. And maybe because last year they put Alex Starr, you kind of throw him into the fire as a number 2 overall pick and to say, hey, go out there and, you know, experiment with some things. See what works, see what doesn't. He was taking way too many shots from the outside. He was fading away from the basket too often, not going up strong. He's not doing that this year, and that's why he's playing at such an efficient rate compared to how he did at year number one. His box plus minus, just a couple days ago, I'd have to double check if it's still the case, was top 20 in the NBA. Like, borderline playing at an all-star level. Now, he's not going to get that nod, obviously, because it's a popularity contest. The Wizards are bad. They've lost 9 games in a row. But Alex Starr has given some real hope and ignited what this fan base could start to look forward to in the future. This guy is only 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 until April.
And
how did they even get to overtime last night then? I want you to break me down the play where Bub Carrington looked like prime vintage Otto Porter.
I got you. Well, they're up by five with 14 seconds to go. And Keyshawn George actually gets to the line with 2 seconds left in the game. He has to knock down both to ice this thing. He only makes the first. So once Detroit gets that rebound, you go, oh boy, here we go. This Wizards team has seemingly found a way to lose in these situations. They blew a 15-point lead in 5 minutes to go in the game against Philadelphia. And last night, you could really feel it starting to slip away there late in the fourth. On the inbound play, so Cade is inbounding it. And you're like, okay, he's out of the play. He's not as much of a threat. They were trying to set like a double screen up top, or I don't even know what was happening at the top of the key. But Jalen Duren and somebody else collided. They both fell on the floor. So essentially, three guys are out of the play with 2 seconds to go. So you go, all right, there's only two guys that can possibly tie this game. And Jenkins in the corner. Somehow, Bub Carrington loses sight and loses like a lapse of focus momentarily. And he's not denying the ball. In that situation, when he's just standing there in the corner and it's a 3-point game with 2 seconds, basically only a catch and shoot opportunity is possible, you got to deny the basketball right there. Bub should never have let Jenkins catch that ball, let alone get a shot off, and he drills it. It goes to overtime. And, you know, that's exactly where you knew as a Wizards fan that the game wasn't going to end up going in their favor in the end result after it gets to overtime.
Ben came in here today. Linnell was like, you have to see this play. That was not watching Bub, the Wizards late last night. You got to see this play, and it looked exactly like Otto Porter when he got
the
lost
Bulls
on defense.
Yeah.
When he's just, oh, no, it looked exactly like that. The difference was that Otto Porter's guy literally ran to the other side of the floor, and Bub's guy was 3 feet in front of him.
I've heard some stories about Otto off the court.
He got after it.
Got after it. Yeah.
He got after
it.
Yeah.
He got after it for
I
sure.
I met him in a Miami airport once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't that interested to see me. He didn't know who I was. I was like,
he's a boring guy for the most part. It seemed like on the court, but like I was just saying, off the court, Otto Porter people. But no, the Wizards are in a really good spot. So everyone locked in law is spamming fire Brian Keefe. I don't know what his contract details are.
They're not firing him now.
They're damn sure not firing him now.
The plan is, and the plan was not to be very good.
I just am like, I don't know how I can fire him. This is a guy that's overseen the development of Russell Westbrook, Harden, Durant. And I'm seeing our young guys make tremendous strides. So it's like,
this is a bad time to ask this question. When are they going to trade the old dudes and let the young guys play? Like, well, McCollum went crazy last night, so I realize it's not in good taste to be asking this now.
February.
But it feels like he has to be gone by February, right?
That's what this time of the year for. You're auditioning him. And the better he plays...
Yeah, who's going to give up a first-round pick for C.J. McCollum?
It's going to be a salary dump situation as well. The Wizards traded Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey and took on C.J. McCollum's contract because they wanted to have expiring deals this upcoming year instead of Poole and Bey, who were on the two-year deals at that time. The Wizards are going to have $100 million in cap space free up, and you go, oh boy, we're going to sign a big-time free... No, that's not the plan. That's not what the Wizards are going to do this offseason, but essentially they're going to be able to take on some more bad contracts that come in. I don't even know. I haven't gone as far of like looking around the NBA to see what's going to be available in terms of who might get dumped to the Wizards, but you're going to be able to acquire assets through that.
I will say this. This may be the offseason that they spend the money.
Are there going to be guys available? It feels like in the NBA, big-time players never hit the open.
I think, and I'm not saying go out and get an all-star, but I'm saying get like a second, third-tier type of guy to come in and be a big piece of your rotation. Maybe it's a center to play next to Alex Saar if you don't want to leave him at the five. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think this is their last year of being terrible. I do believe that. I firmly believe that.
So here are some of the names that are going to be theoretically on the open market. I say theoretically because a bunch of these guys are going to get new contracts. LeBron. Interested?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Go get LeBron.
Trae Young, but Trae Young has a player option, and Trae Young's going to get a massive contract. Zach LaVine, but Zach LaVine is a player option. I don't know that I would want Zach LaVine, who at that point would be basically 31.
Yeah.
James Harden, I'm good. C.J. McCollum, we're trying to get rid of him. Chris Middleton, trying to get rid of him. Kristaps Porzingis, been there, done that. Isaiah Hartenstein, he's pretty good. That's a rebounding king. wants a little bit more. He'd have to get a lot more money, though. He's getting 29.
I think you make the argument here that the Wizards need to find another big to put alongside Sarr.
Yeah.
Alex Sarr is developing. Yeah, he's playing at a five position right now because this Wizards team purposely has no depth at the center position. You get some good minutes from Marvin Bagley off the bench, and sometimes you get Tristan Vucevic, who's on the two-way contract, that'll give you some production offensively, not a lot on the defensive side of the basketball, obviously. But the way Sarr has improved his game offensively while also, you know, continuing what he started last year as a rim protector, he's had two or more blocks in the last 10 games, which is the most amongst players in the NBA right now. So he continues to defend the rim at an elite level. He doesn't quite have the size that I feel like you would need to really defend some of these top-tier centers in the NBA just from
his
a body
length,
standpoint.
Though, bro.
The length is great.
He's only going to get stronger.
But that's why I feel like you see him play really well at the four, because, Linnell, you and I were texting about it last night, his ability to switch. Will Dawkins said he was one of the best switch defenders in the entire NBA last year, and there was a couple examples last night where he got the switch. Cade Cunningham in the corner. Sarr sticks with him the entire way. He's got the length to do it. He's got the speed, the athleticism, and then he swats it at the rim. Like, that's the kind of versatility Alex Sarr provides on the defensive side of the basketball. So if you have a real, true paint beast that you put alongside of him, I think it's going to mesh really well together.
He's got to, that paint beast has got to also be able to switch. Because I think right now, if you're the Wizards, depending, like, what your ideal lineup, I think, is going to end up being, I don't think our point guard is here yet.
Yep.
But, like, point guard, Trey Johnson at the two, then Bilal, Keyshawn, and Sarr is your 3, 4, 5. You can switch 3 through 5, damn near. There are certain nights, obviously, where Bilal will get punished by the center. But, like, Bilal's turning into a defensive anchor, more known as a wing guy. But, like, is going to develop the strength to where he can switch on to bigs, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm intrigued by. So I think I want to leave him at the five for that reason. But if you do get another five in there, he's got to be able to switch.
I'm more talking long-term, probably, big picture. And, you know, Bilal, I'm concerned that he can't stay healthy right now.
Well.
That's another thing.
That's brutal. Can't count on Bilal's with Locked On Lots tweet this type in the chat. I mean,
he's already missed 7 games this year.
Kind of interested you in Ja Morant.
Well, I put that on Twitter just to fish a little bit. Check the pulse of the DMV.
You just wanted to rage bait on Twitter?
People were very upset. I just don't think he fits what they're trying to do culturally, probably.
How would Gilbert Arenas come in here and mentor him? Hey, this way you shouldn't mess with guns.
Linnell, let's talk Cam Whitmore. We got to. Because the first couple games,
he's the most polarizing man.
It didn't seem like the fit was there. His minutes decreased in 4 straight. He only played in 5 minutes at the season low point. But the past 2, where he's found himself in the rotation, and he's actually bought in to what this team needs out of him. A guy that actually gets it done on the defensive side of the basketball while providing that microwave scoring ability. If he can do that consistently, he's going to have a role here. That's how I look at it.
What would the role be? Is it like an off the bench? Is he your sixth man?
I think so.
And just come in and try to get buckets?
Him and Trey can serve in that role right now until, I guess, McCollum departs at some point in the season and maybe Trey Johnson gets his opportunities as the starting two guard then. Trey's definitely got some work to do, but I've seen some nice flashes from him as well.
It's going to be interesting, man. I saw we got to figure out here over the next several months, and I'm sure college basketball, I love. DeBonsta's a monster. He's not the guy that I wanted, though, initially.
DeBonsta's a monster?
DeBonsta. Yes, he is. Darren Peterson, dude, from Kansas is a mother lover. Like, they need a point guard.
You are way more logged into college basketball than I am. It is still very much college
football. That is why we're like the yin to each other's yang.
Yeah.
You are more locked in on college football than I am.
Rankings come out tonight. We'll discuss it in a little over an hour.
But college basketball, man, Boozer, DeBonsta, or Peterson. I think Darren Peterson's my guy.
You know the reason I'm not locked in on college basketball? We'll continue this conversation. I'll tell you why. Coming up next. There's one big reason, and it's impacting a lot more than just me. He's the Noah Willingham. I'm Denton Day. We're in on the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan of the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
And then the Nationals, Danny. Hired a pitching coach yesterday. And if there's such a thing as getting younger and younger when your first hire is a 35-year-old president of baseball operations, and you go, wow, that's a young hire, then he hires a 33-year-old manager. They have now hired a 30-year-old pitching coach. This is like one of those word problems in school back in the day. If so facto, how old will their first base coach be? 27. And then their third base coach, 24. Like, do you get to your assistant hitting coach being 19 at a local high school right now, like Madison with the Warhawks, Pudge Jorman's new star player or something?
I got a sophomore in high school that's pretty good at putting bat to ball, but really good at teaching kids.
I am excited. Everyone says, oh, you're just happy that these guys are young. Partially, yes, because young typically is synonymous with forethinking and out of the box and analytical and data-driven and not baseball old guard, which they've tried and had a lot of around here for a long time. But it's really not just about the age. This 30-year-old pitching coach comes over from the Reds organization where he was the assistant pitching coach. He has been an instructor in the Dominican. He has worked at Driveline, which is kind of the baseball laboratory that every team has guys going to in the offseason to find velocity and rework themselves and build pitches in laboratory. Like, they are really leaning into the R&D with some of these hires and really leading into player development. So color me excited. But Hobo, 35.
Yep.
Manager, 33. Pitching coach, 30. There will not be a younger organization in the sport.
No, and they're clearly leaning into that. So, but, I mean, age doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom or competence. Young doesn't necessarily equate to genius. It just, we don't know yet. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding, but the philosophy behind that, I'm with you. It typically stands for X. It's the same thing we're talking about with the football team. Just because you're old doesn't mean you're going to get hurt. But there's a bigger correlation. The bigger correlation here is if you came up in a different era where, the old guard's like, take two and hit to right, or let's sacrifice bunt here in the first inning, see if we can play for a run. The new guard was raised in this environment of stats governing everything, and exit velocity and barrel rate and hard hit percentage, and they've lived in this world their entire lives. It's like my son is better at doing everything on his computer at 12 years old than I am because he's never had life without it. For me, I have to learn every time there's a new update or whatever. He's lived in these updates. I get this whole life. So that's the philosophy.
Well, for me, it's even more simple. It's people in this organization didn't say Driveline the last several years, let alone think about hiring a guy who worked there before he got into baseball, right? And it's just it's a vast departure from how they have operated. And it's what a lot of people wanted more of in the org. Are they going to lean too far into it? Are they going to leave some of the baseball stuff that is necessary too, some of the scouting stuff that you need to give a seat at the table on the outside of the boardroom? I don't know. We'll see. But I'll tell you that Toboni says the right things. He talks about wanting, you know, old school baseball people in the organization as well. He played, Butera played in college, and I think that's going to help for sure. It's not that they're just, you know, hiring button-touching nerds who are wearing pocket protectors to be their pitching coach. I don't think that's the way this is going to go.
So, as we talked about yesterday, Maryland football's lost 5 in a row. They're 4-5 after that 4-0 start. Mike Locksley was asked the other day in his press conference whether or not he believes his job is on the line. He said no. He thinks he deserves to be the Maryland football coach. A lot of fans disagree. Jeff Ehrman covers this program like nobody else does. He is, by the way, as a recent basketball coach described him, he's the TMZ of Maryland sports. He's the founder of Inside MD Sports, and you can follow Jeff on X on Twitter at Jeff_Ehrman. So I'm catching up on what the AD Jim Smith said about Mike Locksley's future. But let's just get right to it. I want you, for those that aren't familiar with the situation, to kind of just outline, you know, where he's been, what his record is in the Big Ten, how many years he's been here, what it would require to actually buy him out, et cetera, and then the appetite for doing it among boosters.
Yeah, Kevin, I think, you know, the record, if I recall, 16-40 in the Big Ten. You know, there's I think, an asterisk next to that to some extent just because the shape the program was in when he took over was really bad on and off the field. They had won, I think, 13 games the past previous three years combined. They were coming off Jordan McNair's tragic death and all the controversy surrounding that. So the first few years you have to give him a pass, and then he had a good, you know, a solid 3-year run of going to bowl games, winning them each of those 3 years, and then things have really kind of fallen off the table the past couple of years. And so now, you know, you have a situation where he already didn't have a great deal of political capital or, you know, support from the fans. Obviously, after last year, they went 4-8 overall, 1-8 in the Big Ten, and then you get off to a hot start again, you know, familiar sight, get off to a hot start, 4-0 against lesser opponents. People's hopes go up, and then, you know, that 3-game stretch of blown leads in the fourth quarter and then 2 more losses coming off of that, and now, you know, you're staring down the possibility of an 8-game losing streak to end the season, which would put, you know, which would be back-to-back 1-8 seasons in the Big Ten if that happens, if they don't win another game. So, you know, it's not hard to figure out why, you know, there's so much discussion around his job security.
So let's talk about whether or not something could be done. I said yesterday on the show, I said nothing speaks to the, you know, apathy for Maryland football more than it doesn't appear as if, you know, there's a booster or any interest in paying what really amounts to a paltry buyout comparatively to other, you know, college football programs at $13 million. I mean, you and I both know this is not only a basketball first school, it's recently become almost a basketball only school. So talk about, you know, what it would take and whether or not there's a legitimate appetite for it within the people that matter, within the group that matters.
Yeah, I'm sure a few boosters would pitch in on that, but, you know, I think a lot of them are tapped out at this point. There's been so many asks of them the past few years, especially with NIL and, you know, getting a lot of donations for basketball and football, NIL, before revenue share started, the money that people donated for the new practice facility in basketball and other facilities. So, you know, you might get something from some of those people, and some of them are also, I think, would not give because they like Mike Locksley.
Right.
So I think if Maryland were to make a move for that $13 million, which, like you said, is, you know, it sounds like a lot in general, but I think it's from what I read is the 35th highest buyout in the country. So there's a lot, you know, there's many coaches even at non-power programs with higher buyouts. You'd probably have to fund it through the school somehow or some other creative way. I don't think, like you said, there's not enough there to fund that through a grassroots kind of deal like a lot of schools do.
You wrote in your most recent column on Inside MD Sports that Jim Smith, the new athletic director, made eye-opening comments about the Mike Locksley situation. What did he say?
Yeah, so he's been very supportive of Mike throughout the season, hasn't really, you know, left any window there in terms of anything you can interpret as potentially making a move on him. And then the other day, a reporter, Taylor Lyons from Baltimore Sun, asked him about Mike's job security, and he was a lot less firm. You know, he said it would be silly to make a decision now. He's got three more games to coach, basically. So, you know, that's a huge shift from his previous talk that, you know, obviously that talk came when Maryland's 4-0 or 4-1, 4-2, whatever. And, you know, he's not Jim Smith's a smart guy. He sees the fan base. He understands, you know, the support and how it's waned and how tough it would be to sell, you know, bringing back a coach who potentially went 1-8 back-to-back Big Ten years. That's not anything specific to Mike Locksley. That's just a thing where you just don't really see people do that. You know, it's just it's a very tough sell to the fans.
Jeff Ehrman joining us. The problem, Jeff, you and I have talked about this over the years, is like, even if they first of all, it would be the worst kind of off season to be looking for a new football coach with all of the openings. That aside, it's just not an attractive job, right?
Compared to the, you know, that top seven or eight that are open right now, you know, with Penn State, Florida, even Oklahoma State, those schools, it's not. But, you know, compared to others, you know, Mike Locksley makes $6 million a year. So it might not be attractive to the hottest commodities out there. You're probably not going to get those guys anyways because there's so many jobs. So you're going to have to, if you made a move, you would have to find, you know, an up-and-comer or somebody who's not necessarily the hottest name out there. But, you know, I think you could find somebody. It's all about the right. I mean, look at Cignetti at Indiana. He's a unicorn in what he's doing, but still,
right.
you can find guys. You know, how many people knew his name 2 years ago? So, you know, it's not by far not the most attractive job in the Big Ten or SEC, but it all comes down to just finding the right person.
Yeah, I mean, I think I get it. You know, they're capable because they're in the Big Ten and because of the revenue that's generated off of the media dollars. Being a football school in the Big Ten, you can afford to pay the football coach well, and that's great. But when people view Maryland as a Power Four football program, it just is not. You know, I love it, and I wish it were different, but the revenue's terrible, you know, in terms of non-media revenue. I think you've written before that it's, you know, near the bottom, or certainly way, way, way down the list of Power Four schools. We know what the crowds look like there for even a big game. It's a pro market. That's part of it. You know, a lot of these places are in college towns, and we're in a pro market, and really two pro markets. You know, within the industry, this isn't like a coveted job.
No, it's definitely not a, you know, plug and play kind of situation by any stretch. Maryland has struggled for much of the past 20 years, you know, since Ralph Friedgen's first few years, you know, DJ Durkin, obviously, Randy Edsall. It just hasn't gone well overall. And then, as you mentioned, you know, the situation right now, it's very Maryland, actually, to, you know, maybe have to be in the market for a coach on the 1 year when there's like a million high-profile openings and you have this really, really talented freshman class and quarterback that you don't want to lose. So you have those two things. You know, it's just kind of fitting in terms of Maryland's fortunes over the year in football.
Yeah. So for those that don't know what he's talking about, Maryland's, they've got talent and they're true freshmen. Now they've lost some of those players on defense. Because I don't know about you, but Sidney Stewart, the moment I watched him, I'm like, he's a Sunday player eventually. They've got kinds of players. You know, Malik Washington to me is a bit, you know, I'm not sure yet. I don't know how you feel. But not only that, right, they've got an unbelievable class coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this freshman class, you know, I've been following Maryland for 30 years or so, and this might be the most talented freshman class I've seen. Malik Washington, like you said, unfinished product. You don't know that he's going to become a star, but clearly has the potential. And, you know, I can't make too many judgments on him, you know, in terms of his flaws this year. True freshman starting a quarterback in the Big Ten is almost impossible. So he's going to need some time to get polished. But then, you know, like you said, Sidney Stewart to me, you know, he looks like a first-round pick potentially. Zaire Mathis on the other side, a defensive end. He has the same appearance. And there's five or six other big-time talented kids in that freshman class. So I would not want to be Jim Smith right now.
Where does their incoming 2026 class rank right now?
Well, that one's, you know, it's not nearly as good so far. You know, it's very top heavy in terms of just one guy, Zion Neely, number two player in the country for next year, defensive end from Baltimore, number one edge player in the country. Otherwise, you know, they've got some nice players, but it doesn't have the cachet that this year's class has by any stretch. And, you know, it probably won't anytime soon until all this uncertainty is settled when the season ends.
So we'll finish up this particular topic with this question. What do you think should happen and what do you think will happen?
It's hard to say what should happen because I don't know what the final result is going to be. You know, three games left.
Obviously. Well, they're not going to win more than one of these, right?
It's unlikely. Yeah, it's very unlikely. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I think Mike has done a decent job overall. He's, you know, he has a lot of love for the university. He came back and took over during a time when no one else wanted it. And it is a really hard job. You know, you have to judge the results kind of on a sliding scale at Maryland when you're just running this constant uphill battle trying to compete with all these bigger name, more resourced programs. In terms of what will happen, you know, I think clearly if he doesn't win another game, that'll be it. I can't see anybody bringing back a coach after back-to-back 1-8 Big Ten records. It's just not really a thing that happens, and you're not going to have the fans. If he wins one game, that's tough. You know, I think I would still place the odds more strongly on them making a move. I think if he only wins one more game, if somehow they win two, then, you know, I think there's a good chance he comes back. But, you know, no one has stated that to me precisely. That's just what I've gathered.
Yeah. And, you know, you've already pointed out, and I've pointed out a few times, they are so close to having three more wins and, you know, being a 7-2 football team. They blew three fourth quarter leads in three consecutive games against Washington, Nebraska, and UCLA. All right, real quickly while I have you on. Last Friday night, Buzz's first real home game at Xfinity. Not a bad atmosphere, certainly not the best, as we both know. But man, did they struggle to score. It's very early. They've got all these new players. But what's your early hunch on Maryland basketball this year?
You know, I think, and the offense is a big question. Outside shooting, obviously, and interior depth. In that Georgetown game, they had five field goals in the first 28 minutes, which, you know, I'm not sure I've seen that before. Right. Injuries have hurt, too. They've had a ton of injuries. They're starting to get more healthy. They still need to get back Solomon Washington, who's, you know, an elite defender who would make not a huge scorer, but would make a big impact on winning. I think basically my view is the same as it was before the year. They look like a bubble team to me. I'm not sure this is an NCAA tournament team. It could be. You know, even Buzz Williams has seemingly gone out of his way for the past month or two to say he doesn't know if they're any good, basically, or he doesn't know how good they're going to be. But his teams tend to peak later in the season.
Right.
And especially with this one, when you consider most of these guys, you know, some of them played together at Texas A&M, a few of them, but otherwise it's a brand new 15-man roster all trying to integrate together. So, you know, I don't think there's any snap judgments to be made, but there's definitely some real concerns about, you know, like I said, scoring, interior depth, and three-point shooting.
They play Marquette on Saturday at 2 o'clock right here on the Team 980. That's one of Buzz's previous stops. That game's in Milwaukee. By the way, he's done a good job recruiting as well, right? Like next year's class, top 20-ish?
Yeah, he has done a good job. You know, the big domino will fall next week. That's Baba Latitude, kid from Silver Spring, five-star. Yep. Down to Maryland, Arkansas, and Georgetown, basically. So, you know, I feel like they actually do have a pretty legit chance there. And, you know, as much as some people have kind of turned down their optimism based on watching these first few games, I think if he gets a guy like that, all of a sudden, you know, you might see a statue outside the stadium, outside Xfinity for him, because we both know how many of those guys have gotten away from Maryland over the years.
If he ends up signing the guy from, literally plays public school, Montgomery County, Blake High School, we've talked about this player before. He is, you know, already mocked as a future top five NBA pick. If he lands this kid, is that a top five class next year?
Probably. It's hard with basketball. You know, football class rankings are much more accurate, much more scientific, because you have so many more players, whereas with basketball, Maryland might have four guys and another school might have seven, so they're going to be higher rated as a class. But it would be one of the best. You know, he's rated a little bit higher than Derek Queen was coming out of high school, just to give some context on, you know, how prized he is. So, you think there's a good chance? Yeah, I think I think it's them versus Arkansas. Some people think Georgetown's in the mix. The people I've talked to in the area don't really think the Hoyas are a big threat, but, you know, that's the kind of guy that you can, not only on the court, but can really generate a lot of excitement, obviously, from the fan base.
Yeah, and look, this is a kid who, you know, clearly they are a close family, close-knit. He went to DeMatha, I think, as a freshman, but they didn't like the long commute. They wanted to stay closer to home. Maybe this whole staying closer to home works out for the Terps and they get this kid. That's next year. That's not this year. And he, by the way, was a 2027 number one class guy. He reclassed and is still, I'm looking at ESPN's top 100 right now. He's number 8 in the class. All right. What else? Did I miss anything?
No, I think you covered it all, man. Looking forward to seeing what they do at Marquette on Friday. It can probably give us a little bit better idea what we're looking at.
But it's Saturday, right?
I don't know what will.
Yeah, it's really Saturday right in the middle of the college football day. But it'll be on 980, and I think it's on Peacock, actually. I think the game's a Peacock game. Thanks, Jeff, as always. Hope you're well.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Wish you the
me.
Best. By the way, Derek Queen last night, 26.7 rebounds, 4 assists for the Pelicans. He is balling as a rookie. All right, Charch next.
So I was just on Twitter, and maybe there's a tinge of jealousy here.
Okay.
But I'm seeing these pictures, John Keim, and he's seeing all these sites in Spain.
You're jealous?
I understand John Keim being there.
Yeah.
But then I saw a picture of Toby Altheiser and Chris Russell.
Is this class warfare?
Those guys are probably paying their own way.
They're coming out of pocket?
Probably.
That's a pricey trip, dude, going to Madrid.
It's probably a good excuse.
How is Toby Altheiser there?
Listen, if you want to go,
Toby.
You got plenty of money. You want to go? Fly out there. You can probably book it still.
That's amazing.
I'm good waking up at about 8:15 on Sunday, going down, brewing a pot of coffee, making some breakfast, and watching from my couch.
There's no way Chris Russell's paying for himself.
I think Rooster came out of pocket.
I think Rooster talked about it. He talked about it.
Get CK in here. I guarantee CK's not paying for it. Yeah. I just saw
Is
CK.
Chris here? No, they don't pay for anything.
Can somebody get Chris
real quick?
Here.
Yeah. No, I remember Russell said he saves.
Are we the only donks who aren't there?
No, they pay their way. You don't want to pay your own way.
It would cost you $5,000.
First of all, I don't want to do it if they pay.
I know. You probably wouldn't make a trip to Crofton to go see the Commanders.
Who, me or Jason?
You.
You know I wouldn't.
I would go to Crofton to see him.
I go to Ashburn to see him practice.
I would go to Madrid for an appearance fee. It would have to be the other way around. I would have to get paid to go to Madrid.
CK, I was just saying, I was stunned to see both Chris Russell and Toby Altheiser in Spain.
Well, it's Altheiser, not Altheiser, for one thing.
I just call him Toby.
I mean, they're paying their own way. We're not paying for Chris Russell and Toby.
Well, we figured it.
You didn't pay 1 cent for it.
The bill.
Not 1 cent. Yeah. In fact, they're taking time off work. So they're not even going over working. No. They're not. Chris is missing his show for the next few days, and Toby's missing his duties here as well.
They're ballers.
Beamish and Finley are there, but you know they're there with other employers. So
right.
We're not having to foot those bills.
Ah, very good.
Believe me, I have no jealousy. Yeah. In fact, I saw some of these pictures and I went, thank God I'm not. I'm sure you're stunned by that.
I can't imagine traveling with you to Europe. I mean, that would be
no. I know. I told that to my wife. Like, you guys, honestly, I'll ruin the trip.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You'd ruin the trip to Bethesda.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Rally Captain. We calls him the show, right? Yeah. And he's like a big.
He goes to every road game.
Goes to everything.
That's your personal apocalypse.
And he posted a picture just recently, like from some balcony in the middle of a billion apartments or something. It looked like hell. Mm-hmm. That literally looked like hell.
In Spain?
Yeah.
In Madrid?
Yeah, he was like, he posted up from, and I'm like, "That. What do you do?
That's his thing.
He went to Spain for his honeymoon.
That was 100 years ago.
1999.
Yeah.
By the way,
he worked an angle, right?
Spanair.
Yeah, good angle.
How much happier were you in 1999 than you are now?
Would you 5,000%. I mean, I'll just be honest.
Mm-hmm. Why? I don't understand.
You didn't have kids then.
The passing of time and my mom dying. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff's happening in my life. Hasn't gone great.
A lot of stuff's happening. I don't want to get into it, though. There's a lot of positives.
Yeah. Love my family. Love my kids. Love working with these guys. It's starting to get tiresome. You do something for 30 years. You love the lantern flies
killing them.
But I was just, I don't know. I just looked at the world differently back then.
Hard knock life.
Right, you're not in my brain, bro. You're not in my body.
All right, so Odyssey did not.
Everybody's got
the bill.
Something going on
Toby,
in their life.
Toby Altheiser.
Thank you.
Does he have an H in the name?
It's Altheiser.
Okay.
I don't know if he has
Altheiser.
An H. Altheiser.
There's no H.
No H.
I guess I've never really looked at it.
Just call him Toby.
I thought it was Toby.
Just call him Toby.
Yeah.
I like Toby. He's good.
I like Toby,
too. So you saw those pictures, and you thought, I'm jealous I'm not there?
Not really. I mostly just brought it up because, you know, I said something during the break to Cakes, and he was like, you should bring it up in the air. Mm-hmm. It was surprising to me. Yeah, there's no H.
I knew who wasn't paying for the trip. Odyssey.
That was not surprising.
That I knew. I knew that wasn't the case.
I just don't know, like, why would Russell want to go all the way out there to cover the game? I guess it's just an excuse to go, and he always wants to go or something. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Maybe he wants to go to Spain. Maybe he's a world traveler.
But he's not the only one.
I literally don't know this.
Yeah.
What is Spain? I swear to God, I don't know this. You're going to make fun of me. Like, what on earth are they most famous for? Like, what do people do when they go there?
There's food. It's a beautiful country.
Food, architecture, painting.
One particular thing that you have, if you go to Spain, you have to see this statue or this church or something.
Probably go to a bullfight, I would think, is something you would do.
What are they most famous for? I'm just asking. Like,
most famous for? I don't know, but all of their cities and towns are just very, very old. So you go if you're into the architecture, like he's saying.
If you're into cobblestone streets, you into that?
We went to a town called Toledo, spelled like Toledo, but it's not. It's pronounced Toledo.
Okay.
I mean, it was cool. It was, you know, old and.
Well, we can ask our next guest.
There were some cool spots.
You can ask Coach Carbs.
But I wouldn't go now.
Yeah,
I just wonder what people go there for. What do you like?
I mean,
is there a tourist thing that you have to do? I guess bullfighting. You got to go to a bullfight.
I didn't do that.
What, I don't know. Carbs, have you ever been to Spain?
It's so funny you guys are talking about this because we've never been to Europe as a family, and we're thinking about going, and that's. Where there's like three places that are on that are options. One is Spain, and I've been asking like some of our European guys about it, like Barcelona and Madrid, and like what's there to do there. So it's funny you guys are talking about that because, and it's interesting. They say it's a, if you go by where the beaches are in the southern part of Spain is really, really nice. And yeah. Barcelona is more of like, there's a lot of nightlife and there's a lot happening there. So yeah, I've got a little bit of the rundown.
I don't know if I'd listen to Ovi. He would just have you go to like a Euro trash club where they're just, it's a rave until 4 a.m. Might not be.
You know who our European traveler is Rasmus Sandin, who's from Sweden, but he travels around Europe a lot.
Okay. All right. He sounds like a good guide. Potential
it looks like,
guide.
Honestly, EB, I just put in, like, what's the most famous landmark? It looks like something that your wife would love, like a lot of architecture.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. If that's your thing. That's cool. Yeah, that's your thing.
You wouldn't like
it. I just wondered, what is it most famous for?
By the way, you would go there and just enjoy the food.
Coach Carr.
I like food.
Yeah. Coach Carr.
You wouldn't care about the architecture.
By the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics, more physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. So really good win last night, Coach, in Carolina against the division rival. You had lost a few heading into that one. Talk about how the boys felt coming out of it. Is there a little more swagger when you get a win like that? I know it's early in the season, relatively, but how did that one feel last night?
Yeah, it was a massive game for our group. Just having gone through what we've gone through over the last couple weeks and the road trip and playing against some good teams, playing well, but not really getting any results, and guys being a little bit frustrated, a little bit snake bitten, not finishing, and some of the stuff that had been going on, like we got into some games where the game's real tight, and we just wouldn't make that play in the third period to seal the game or to win the game, whether it was score on the power play, get a big penalty kill, big save, get a breakaway and shoot it in the net as opposed to them making a save. Like, we just have felt like we've been on the wrong end of those constantly this year, and Tampa was no different. So for us to get that win last night against the best team in our division, a team we know very well from the playoffs in the last couple of years, playing in their building, we haven't won. Like, there was a lot of things that you would point to that made that a big game last night, and the guys responded. It was a huge win for our team.
So Dewey leads off the scoring for the second game in a row, and if you had that ticket in Vegas, you're getting paid big on that happening, but great for him. So what a pretty play by Dowd, who was pinned on the boards behind the net. He fights his way out of it, gets back to the circle. He finds Frank, who just backhands it perfectly to Dewey for the layup. Mm-hmm. Take us through that goal, how that worked out, and it just shows you that those battles against the boards, if you win them, you know, it can lead to goals like that.
Yeah, and it shows you how significant, like, fourth line, we call that sort of our fourth line. Nick Dowd's been there for years. Ethan Frank, Dewey. Dewey's been there the last two seasons. And they're, for all intents and purposes in the NHL, your fourth line, they bring energy, they're physical, they're really, really smart, they're responsible. And what you're asking them to do is they don't have to save the world, they don't have to win you the game, but you're asking for them to create momentum for you, be a good forechecking line, be really responsible defensively. And that's what that line has been. So anytime that they can chip in offensively and score, it's just a bonus. And for them to do that the last couple games and get us on the board, and our guys get so fired up when they score, especially early in a hockey game. Like, guys are happy for fourth line guys because they don't get a lot of the accolades or the fill up the stats necessarily, but they're big parts of our team, and so it's nice when they get rewarded with some production.
Yeah, Coach, one of those fourth line guys that you touched on there is Ethan Frank. He assisted on both Dewey goals. I'm glad to see the injury that he suffered in the Dallas game wasn't long term. He's been a nice add to the offense, and that dude has some wheels. Like, do some of the slower skaters, I won't mention any by name, do some of them look at him and just be like, man, I wish I could skate like Frank, because that dude can move.
Oh, can he ever? When he gets going down the wing, he's got this, like, it's almost like a running stride that's long and effortless, and it's he generates so much power in his lower half. You should see the guy's quads are just they're like tree trunks when you see him walking around in his shorts. But he it's been great to see. He didn't have the best of camps this year again, and so went down to Hershey. We called him up, and in true form, just like he did last year, has come into our lineup, and and given us a shot in the arm. And he's been great the last couple of games, coming back from the injury in Dallas, providing energy, using his speed, and sets up a couple of nice goals to give us some production as well.
Coach, I feel like this could be a nice little turnaround for you guys. I mean, you win in Carolina. I mean, you went through a rough stretch, okay, but then you win in Carolina, and they're usually really good at home. They're 5-2 at home. Now you go to Florida. I mean, they're tough. I mean, they're the champs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This would be a nice little turnaround for you boys.
Well, yeah, and that's what – I mean, it's nice. We're happy with the result, but we also understand the what lies ahead, and now we've got to – we got to get this thing rolling. Like, we got to string some real good games together. Power play was excellent in Carolina. Penalty kill was really good. So if we can grab some momentum from that and just sort of, you know, not just settle with, okay, we played great in Carolina, now we take a step back in Florida, the test is going to be just as large there with, like you said, the defending cup champs. And so trying to get on a run here of playing real solid, playing up to our standard, and getting some guys going offensively where they're feeling good. Even Owen, the empty netter, I point to that. I'm like, get him out there, get him shooting a puck in the net, feeling good about himself, and hopefully we can carry that momentum.
Coach, what a save by Mikey last night with 12:50 left in the third. You guys are up 3-1 at that point. Jordan Martinook almost puts one across the goal line, but Mikey is on the spot, keeps the puck out of the net by the slimmest of margins. It had to go to video review. I mean, I'm sure that's something that you and the coaching staff always stress to the guys. Like, if you're around the net, you gotta make sure to back up the goalie whenever you can, and that was a great example of that last night.
Yeah, key moment, and that literally was like an inch from. So the way the rule works is the puck has to completely cross the line. So like if you freeze frame it, it is like it's moving towards, and then Mikey's stick gets there that just prevented like an inch from where we're always looking to see, because there's a red line there is the goal line. If you see any white between the puck and the goal line, that determines it's a good goal. So we're just staring at the monitor in slow-mo, hoping that we didn't see any white. And Mikey did a good job. It was a big moment in the game because that game goes to 3-2 with that much time left. I mean, look out in their building with that much momentum.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you next week. That's Coach Spencer Carberry, brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Keep it going.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
Best of luck in Florida.
All right, they got something they can build off of, hopefully.
That was a nice win last night.
Right.
And we almost got another goalie fight. We were this close to getting another goalie fight last night between Logan Thompson and Anderson. Didn't quite get there.
When was that?
That was, I think, with about 5 minutes left in the
first period.
Was he
the one that almost got one a week or two ago?
No, Chucky almost got one last week.
They say Chucky, definitely not like the fighter
Chucky
type.
Chucky said he can't remember having been in a fight in his life. Not a fighter.
Right.
That's just
this
not
is the
thing.
Last game of that long road trip for
yes.
them. Yes. Yeah.
Coming up next, Spanish-themed game show on a game show Wednesday. You can call in now at 1-800-636-1067.
When we come back, I'll tell you, somebody sent me a tweet with all the things that Spain's known for.
Okay. Don't ruin my game.
Oh, okay.
1-800-636-1067. Your chance to win some great prizes. Next.
It is high noon in the District of Columbia. It means it's 6 p.m. in Madrid, Spain, where the Washington Commanders arrived last night / this morning. Sam Cosmi's probably eating dinner somewhere, getting Spanish barbecue at an American restaurant. I'll be doing the same tomorrow. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley right here on 106.7 The Fan. You're watching us on Monumental Sports Network. You're watching us on the YouTube 106.7 The Fan page. And it's an interesting day, and I was excited about this last week-ish. So B. Mitch is traveling to Spain today, so he was going to be off. And we have a D.C. radio legend joining, sitting in today in Steve Zabin. So, Zabe,
This legend term you're using, I don't know.
Do you think it's not accurate?
I don't know about that.
So we're going to...
I'm happy that I had a great run in D.C. and back. I'm happy to be on periodically now, just doing whatever. But, I mean, legends. Like, George Michael is a legend.
Okay.
Ken Beatrice is a legend. The Junkies are legends.
Sure. Well, okay.
Andy and I were a fixture.
Fixture maybe is a better word. If you choose to be so humble, we'll go with fixture.
Well, because in the early aughts, when Andy and I started, 2002, 980 was the only sports station in town.
Right.
This signal was a music station that had, I believe...
Wasn't Don and Mike and Howard Stern on this?
Yes. And then it was Guy Talk for a little while, and then it transitioned over.
When did The Fan become full-time sports? It's sad. I should probably know this.
I know. I don't know the exact year, but here's how it worked. So as this station was transitioning to sports, we got bought by Dan Snyder.
Right.
In a fit of anger because he didn't like what was being said about him on radio. And even though he didn't interfere with what we were saying once he bought 980, it was benign neglect because everything Snyder touched turn to, you know what?
Sure. It was interesting for me at that stage of my life, just as a radio consumer, right?
Yeah.
Because 980 was it. Like, I remember being in college and driving around in Mike Farley's Honda Civic. And you tell me if I had the lineup right. Was it you in the morning? Then Rome?
It was Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike. Okay.
Followed by... who was the middays at the time? I think it was Tony.
Yeah.
Middays at one point.
And then Big John.
And then Big John with Smoke and Al and Doc. And then me and Andy with our third rotating sports reporter guest that included Naki and Lavero.
Buck Hance would be on there.
Sage Steele was in there. Oh, we had a period with Riggo as well. I got stories from the Riggo period.
Sure.
You know, and then
what were we listening to Rome on? 570?
Might have been, yeah.
Okay.
And then there was a period where, before Snyder bought us, he tried to launch Triple X Radio, where he got hoodwinked by one of our former executives.
Was it about porn? Like, what made it Triple X?
This was the dumbest radio idea ever.
There's some dumb radio ideas.
Oh, and they're never ending. But so Bennett Zier, who had been like the GM of 980.
I think he runs the Odyssey station in Richmond now.
Yes. Bennett buddied up to Snyder and said, hey, I can build you a radio empire. Let's go buy a station. They came close to buying Big 100, which is
a huge signal.
The best.
Yeah.
It's the boomer. It's the best. And Snyder, even though he's a billionaire, balked at the price. And he got a little bit stuck on the price. And so they ended up passing. Huge mistake. Because had he bought that signal and run the operation there, it would have been fine. Bennett convinced him, I'll buy three lesser stations. And it was like 92.7 to the west.
Oh, I remember
94.3 east. And
I remember that.
1260 all over DC.
It was like they bought a station out
DC.
Towards Leesburg.
Oh, yeah.
And one in like southern Maryland or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
I remember
they would always say, listen on these three stations. There was a flurry of numbers. And FM and AM, and I just said,
I remember that.
No casual listener can remember all of this. And they were three donkey stations.
So if you see me right now on the stream or on Monumental.
Yeah, you're looking at it?
No. So what I'm looking at, Johnny Cakes Auville with the Legendary Junkie program in the morning has this soundboard. And one of them, I believe, is where they go Radio Insider. And that is 100% what we're doing right now is like, probably too deep in the weeds.
No, it's not because your listeners.
I don't know how to work these machines.
No, no.
So don't worry about it.
No. It's not too inside because people listen and they follow along and they're consumers of the product and they're fascinated and sometimes unaware of what happened and why it happened.
Well,
so,
and what I've learned as somebody that came up as a writer and then a podcaster and then slowly started making like inroads on the radio side and then doing TV all along, like there's no audience like the radio because there is nothing where it's as personal. Probably because of the chunks of time involved.
Yes.
But like people know what is going on day to day. If I have
you
a cold, and, if my daughter's sick,
right.
Like that's just the nature of this beast. And it's
you
very
and
unique.
Brian are in people's cars every day.
Right.
And 4 hours
and
a day.
Computers, you know what I mean? Like that is expanded to where you are.
Sure. So there is a familiarity and there is an authenticity to radio that when hosts connect with their audiences, you really feel like you know. But anyway, so Snyder bought these three stations. They didn't do anything. He then bought 980. So it was like he's in now like for $18 million for three crummy signals, another $6 million, I think, for 980. And he's into for $24 million. Dude, still nothing is happening.
Just if we can, real quick, think about that. So we're talking 2010, like 2009,
around 10, 11, 12.
Think about that investment, $24 million into radio and how much that's all worth now.
Well,
$100,000
fast. Yeah. So fast forward to 2016. He dumps it all to Urban One for, I think, $2.5 million.
Wow.
So he took $24 million down to $2 million, but these are rounding errors. This is couch cushion money for
he's
a billionaire.
Sold it for $6 billion. Right.
So that was a shock to all of us at 980. We're now living over here at our uncle's house.
So at that point, you and Andy had been on starting in 02, you said?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 15 years of a run of sports reporters. You guys were 4 to 7? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you get to Urban One, and a lot happened. And
Andy didn't make it to Urban One.
Okay.
But the rest of us did. They were wonderful. They took us in, but that's an urban format. So
just straight radio. They had no talk.
Donnie Simpson, they had talk, but they were music talk. Right. They had morning shows that were iconic. They know exactly what they're doing for their demographic. We were like this experiment, like, oh, we're sure for the right price, we'll take him. We'll see what we can do. And they couldn't do anything. So fall of 2018, I want to say. No, fall of 2019, Urban One flips 980 to Odyssey or Entercom at the time. Us here.
That's been that long? Yeah. 7 years?
Yeah, it was 2019. I remember it vividly because...
Wow, 6 years.
Yeah, so...
I would have thought that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, so we get flipped over here, and the guys that were still on 980 are like, well, they have JFK, and that's a better signal. Lineup.
At that point when it gets flipped, it's Kevin in the morning, you're in the afternoon.
Me, Scott, and Solly were doing afternoons, but Scott didn't make the jump. He didn't make the cut. So now we're talking.
It was B in middays.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese Waters, maybe?
I don't know. I'd have to remember exactly. Yeah. It was a very unfun time, to be sure.
Nah, Medhurst was always on this side. Medhurst was always on the fan.
Yeah. So anyway, now it's just me and Solly. And we are over here with this company who doesn't quite know what they're doing with 980. And I was working a lot. I had been working a lot doing national shows and other stuff. And this little 45-minute-a-day hit I did on a station in Milwaukee.
So, pause. Because I remember, at that point, I was kind of working here at the Fan. Not full-time or anything, but I had a little side gig. And I remember I was like, what on earth are 106.7 The Fan and 980 going to do under the same roof? It's kind of worked out over time. Like, it's worked its way out. But I remember, like, I would only see it on your Twitter in the mornings or whenever it was. And I was always like, why on earth is Zabe on in Milwaukee?
Okay, so here's how that happened. Tell me how
like, the impetus of it.
So here's how that happened. So I'd been on in Milwaukee for 24 years with the number one morning show, Bob and Brian, on a big FM station just doing a sports hit.
Because that wasn't a sports show, correct?
No, no. Yeah. There are two morning DJs. And it had become so popular and it was going so well that iHeart wanted to start an FM sports station in Milwaukee, and they tried to get Bob and Brian to go, and they couldn't. They got close, but they couldn't. Then they did some market research, and they found out, they're like, oh, we could go get Zabe. So they're like, we'll give you a morning show. We'll support you. Let's build a great FM sports show or sports station. A sports station kind of like what JFK is, where it is a sports station, but it's accessible to the casual fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that sounds great. That's an exciting opportunity. I had some familiarity with Wisconsin. I was not going to move my whole family. We still live in Virginia. But I said, I'll be up there as much as it needs to be to try to make this go. And so it was kind of like, I liken it to, people didn't understand it. Like, why would you go from DC, Market 7, to Milwaukee, Market 53? I said, it's like a baseball player getting a deal to go play in Japan. Because this team in Japan said, we want to win a championship in the Japanese League. And I'm like, all right, it's baseball. The culture is different. But let's give it a shot. You know, it's a good contract. Let's go ahead and pursue it. And it was going great.
And it was like you were going, just because of how disjointed everything had been, to the big contender in Japan. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Right. Like the
Giants.
Shinobu Swallows or something like that.
Right.
So at that point, as we turn the corner into 2020, without Scott Lynn, who had been my trusted wingman for all these years.
And those who don't know him, Scott Lynn is just
salt of the earth.
Absolute great dude.
The best guy ever. So he because he didn't make it, it was just me and Solly, and I love Solly, but it was a crippled operation. And I was exhausted, and I said, you know what? I'm going to let this expire in early 2020, and I'm going to focus on doing this Milwaukee gig. And I did it for 7 years, and it was going great. We had climbed up in the mornings with very limited resources to two or three in the target demographic. But, you know, it was an expensive format. It's a lot of bodies. It's more expensive than music. And the people that put it together, JP, one guy retired, another gal got fired. And so, therefore, they made the decision, iHeart, you know what? We're going to do something else. So, literally, as I was thinking I was going to keep going there for another couple of years, they were like, yeah, we're not going to do that. And we're flipping the station to music. So I was told, we're not renewing your contract on Tuesday. It was Hot AC B93 FM on Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And those are the kind of things that can and do happen in radio. They're not common, but it was a meteor strike.
Bro, I remember as a listener at this point, much younger in my life, when HFS with the Junks, yeah, and just a powerhouse, switched to El Zol.
Yes.
And I was floored. I think everybody was floored. And I at least come into this eyes wide open, like 106.7 The Fan is a powerhouse in this city. But if we show up February 10th and it's and it's top 40, like, yeah, all right, that's the crazy world radio is, right?
But it was interesting, though, doing it for that time, because I got a sense of the rhythm and the flavor of upper Midwest sports fandom, and especially Wisconsin fandom with the Packers and the Bucks and the Brewers. And it's different. You know, it's they love their sports up there. They're big sports fans, but they're very die easy. They don't want to rip their own teams. There's like, I would be accused of being the East Coast hardo, because sometimes I would come on the air and I'd just start digging in on this or that or whatever.
I imagine I thought it was pretty gentle, but your criticism of Matt LaFleur 20 minutes ago or whatever wouldn't be that well received out there.
No, there was definitely some people that are like, oh yeah, no, you can't do that. But no, it's too bad. I feel for bad for the guys that were also there that thought they were, you know, on the way to building something great and permanent. It's radio, things change, and it's too bad. Great experiences along the way, though, including seeing the Bucks win a championship, because that really energized the city. And the Brewers this year were an incredible story.
Yeah.
You have no idea the love affair that Milwaukee, Wisconsin has with the Brewers. It is true agape love. And there's also this nagging frustration knowing that the Dodgers have a super team that is bought and paid for and deferred money to the moon that almost can't be beat. Almost.
Right.
Blue Jays almost did. Right. And so there's a feeling of, yeah, we love our team. We're doing really well for what we've got, but we've got no shot to really win it all.
I think that's why baseball's headed towards a work stoppage.
Oh,
I think
1,000%.
Because it clearly didn't work for the Mets, but the way they spent, the way the Dodgers are spending and spending smartly, like, there's just too great of a chasm in baseball for anybody else to break through there. But so one discussion I had, because like, When the Milwaukee station flipped, it was public, right? Like, people saw it and were tweeting about it.
Yeah.
You were tweeting about it. And I people were like arguing with me, and I wasn't positive, right? Like, you and I are cool, have been friends for some time, but it's not like we talk all the time.
No,
right?
No.
And one thing I've learned in weird moments, like, I was at a cable channel that got bought and spun around and a lot of things happened, you know what I mean? It's like, you give people time and space, and then eventually when you see them, you discuss and see how it's going. But people are like, oh man, Zabe's screwed. He moved out to Milwaukee. I was like, I don't think he did. I'm pretty sure he's lived in Virginia throughout this.
No, I had an apartment there, but never uprooted the whole family.
Sure.
For that very reason.
Sure.
Because.
Especially with older kids. I mean.
Well, yeah, with kids. And if push had really come to shove. And by the way, it didn't affect things, because I was traveling there, you know, 50% of the time during football season. I had a place there. I was integrated into the community. I was going places, doing things, remotes.
Right.
Nobody could tell when I was actually at home in Virginia or in Milwaukee. So it didn't really matter. But, you know, companies feel like, hey, we're paying a guy to do this job. We want him physically
here. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
But so that was one thing I didn't do. So all along the way, even after I stopped doing radio here in 2020, I've lived here and I've listened to you guys and everybody on the station, and I've kept tabs on things, and I've been very happy with the Commanders' recent surge. I was thrilled when they finally ousted Snyder. That was a joyous celebratory day downtown. I know you guys had that rally at the shipping container yard next to right over here, the bullpen. Well,
and what people wouldn't know is that, like,
I have loved to have been a part of that? Sure.
Sure. But periodically, but I wasn't. You would text me about stuff. Like, you were clearly listening and engaged. Yeah. I imagine that was happening with other folks. We got a break here. I personally, and we're just going to do this on the air, I'm curious how you always kept your own podcast and made that a monetization vehicle. But more so, your relationship, where you think you are with Commanders fans, with Washington fans. And I'm going to let them call in and let them tell you where they think you are.
Call in. Call me a dirty, rotten traitor if you want.
I think more than not will not say that, but there's always the not.
No, there's a lot of people that believe very strongly in you stick with the team from where you are from. Through thick and thin, name change, good times, bad times.
And I do fall in that camp.
Yeah.
Like, dude, take it on the surface level, the Wizards. The Bullets was an awesome name. The Wizards is a terrible name.
Stupid name.
But, like, they're my team no matter what, and the Wiz has grown on me, and I just kind of ride with it.
Yeah.
But I can understand all sides. Like, where I try to land in what is ultimately, for a lot of people, a stir-the-pot profession is, like, you can appreciate somebody's viewpoint and disagree with it. What I do appreciate is I have to go to break. When we return, phones are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The big question, can I make it to my car to get a Diet Coke and back in time?
Go!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.